Hey y'all, Antoinette here, and I am inviting you. Hey y'all, Antoinette here, and I am inviting you to take a bite out of summer with HelloFresh. From chef-curated seasonal recipes to their very new Fresh and Fit summer menu, HelloFresh brings flavor right to your door. And if you're looking to eat well this summer, HelloFresh's menu features calorie smart and protein smart lunch and dinner options. HelloFresh makes it easy to reach your food goals with flavor recipes that will definitely leave you feeling satisfied. Also, HelloFresh gets that you want options when it comes to what to make for dinner, not just the same old tired thing all the time. That's why they offer 40 recipes to choose from. Did you get that? 40 recipes to choose from every single week. So you'll never get bored and you can always find something new to try and love. Listen, it's peak time for summer produce and HelloFresh makes sure you get all of the best picks all season long. Their ingredients travel from the farm to your door in less than 7 days for a quality you can taste. I recently made the Gouda Vibes burger with tomato, onion, jam, and potato wedges, and I must say, this was one of the best burgers I have ever had. It was absolutely delicious. All of the ingredients were fresh, they were quality, and they were bursting with flavor. So what are you waiting for? Go to HelloFresh.com/ATWCurls50 and use code ATWCurls50 for 50% off plus free shipping. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/ATWCurls50 and use code ATWCurls50 for 50% off plus free shipping.
Hey yo. Oh my god.
It's your girl Shanti.
And it's Antoinette.
And you are listening to Around the Way Curls. We are two Philly bred best friends who strive to produce content that is authentic, unapologetic, and exalting of the magic we see in ourselves and in you.
Join us as we oscillate between love and light and money and dicks. Because duality is a thing.
Yizzo!
Power to the people, Antoinette.
All power to the people, Queen.
All power to the people.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm better. I was a sad face this weekend. Not really sure why, or I do know why, but still unpacking it. But, what's up with you? I haven't spoken to you, really.
I haven't spoken to you. Such good English you use for a very short.
I ain't speak to you or whatever. So like, put me on the game. What's
short
up?
Sprints. I'm okay. It's Black History Month is ended with the end of Black Star Film Festival. Black Star Live, which is an extension of Black Star Film Festival that I helped every Friday. So. It was great. It was around. It was just wonderful to be around like really smart, incredibly talented people, and also I'm happy to not have to do that every Friday. You guys can still take a look and see all of the episodes if you guys want to see my artsy boy. He is the lead host of the two, he and Mayori.
I thought you were going to say ho. I was like, shout out
he
to
is the Lee Ho child in my life. But you can go to blackstar.org, child. Blackstarfilmfest.org to look at that. What else has been going on? I have been watching an HBO series about serial killers. And it was just really wonderful. I really enjoyed it. And it was about a leading psychologist, a small little, I think she's a Jewish, yeah, a small Jewish woman who was, you know, very interested between the correlation of brain damage and serial killers. And so she did all of this research and she did all of these interviews, and she came up with the theory that, or she, not the theory, but she came up with the evidence that a lot of serial killers are not killing just out of pure evil. So this idea of people just having pure evil in them and that's why they're killers, you know, she kind of debunked scientifically and did her research and traced the majority of the killers' early childhood experiences linked with intense trauma and abuse. And a lot of them had scarring on their brains, which affected their ability to make decisions and choices. And so anyway, she ended up...
What's it called?
Child. What is it called? I will know by the end of this.
I will
take a break. I'll take a break and find out. But she ended up overturning not a lot, but one death penalty. Like, because a lot of people were being put to death just on the premise of their evil and we need to get rid of them. And, you know, they did this out of pure evil. And she was kind of like, well, yeah, they're really messed up people, but it's linked to trauma. Anyway, I linked this to fuckboys because what ended up happening is that in her interviews with all of the serial killers, a lot of them had multiple personalities. And they would disassociate. And the acts that they... committed were under the influence of these other personalities. And a lot of the personalities were created, again, from terrible, terrible trauma. And they had to, like, create these different personalities to protect said, you know, child. And so they would just basically glaze over and become this different thing. And I was talking with a friend this week, and she was talking about her experiences with past partners and how, you know, they would do horrendous things. And when she would, like, talk to them, like, they don't know what happens. They're just like, I don't know why I do these things.
Also, and what other friend do you have?
I link it to, you're not well. I link it to, I think they should really do some correlation with serial. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of it's connected to them being, this is in no way means a place for, I'm not excusing them. And that's not what she was asking, but she was just like, don't put them to death. Let's also talk about and go into, like, why these people do this. And if you want to have a safe society, you need to go into the root of, like, how a killer is even created in the first place. And I'm really interested in how these men become killers of women's hearts and dreams and sense of worth.
Ciao. If we put fuckboys to death, it'd just be us and this bitch.
Oh, that'd be it, baby.
It might be four of them. And then because it's only four of them, they're going to turn into fuckboys because they don't know how to say no to all this vagina coming their way.
Also, you sent me some image of a Philly dude with locks, and I have trauma. I don't know what it is, but I just don't trust a certain type.
No, you said you don't trust men with locks.
And Philly I said, men with Philly older men with locks. Older men with locks, I have a lot of respect for, but it's like this certain look of locks.
It's like Kodak Black. Is that his name?
Girl.
I'm be really cool if I just said that little young kid's name. It's like that kind of like, I don't trust you just because you locked up. But Philly men with locks are not trustworthy. Shout out to you know who you are. Except for, I mean, we know one that we like. What's his name? We had him on here. He got locks.
True.
What's his, why can't I...
You why need am I to like not...
it? I'm so sleepy. Why can't... No, help me. Say his name. That was a great episode.
I can't. Salah.
Salah, right?
Okay, girl.
Salah got locked.
Salah, I'm so sorry. We're not well. It's 9 o'clock. We are getting eaten alive by capitalism. No, I already yawned about
10 times. So,
God. We are just trying to keep it together, child.
Do you have Salah, anything else?
You know
who you
are. I know that's the nigga that, excuse me, that was the man that came into my head and I was like, oh no, but I trust Salah.
Yeah, same. I'm like,
he's the only man with locks that I trust.
Yeah. And not his cousins, just him.
Not his cousins and them. None of his friends.
No. You got anything else?
No, that's all I have to say.
My updates. We are dressed. If you can see us on Patreon, you will see that Shanti and I are in full. Because I have on my ring light and you don't. I don't know why you won't just... you look... It looked like the struggle bus over there. I don't know what's going on. But Shanti and I are dressed like two light-skinned Black Panthers.
This looks like cosplay. Like, let's be honest. This looks like we're in... What in the light-skinned Panthers? What in the fashionista Panthers?
Listen.
Fashion Nova...
Child, fake ass Panthers. But listen, we're here because I watched Judas and the Black Messiah. I immediately hit Shanti up and was like, we need to talk about this because unpopular opinion, didn't love it. And we're going to get into that, why later. It's also, yes, Black History is over, but it is Melanin March. And I don't know if we get to celebrate that.
Keep it going.
But... I'm going to celebrate Melanin March. What else? I was in my feelings this weekend. You sent me that meme that was like four ways to know that you're a Libra or some shit. And it was like, give me more attention. It was like buttons to hit. It was like, give me more attention. Leave me alone. And then the other one was like, sad for no reason. I forget the other one. But sad for no reason was definitely me this weekend. I was sad, like debilitated, like in the bed, like, oh. What is life? Contemplating all things. And I'm realizing that I think you said this. You're probably going to be like, shut the fuck up. But I need to focus less on my like goals and more about how I want to feel. And I'm pretty sure that you say that all the time.
Oh, boy.
But no, deadass. Like I was, of course, looking at houses. And then I found this apartment that was for sale up here and was like trying to figure that out. Like, oh, maybe if I could buy that, then maybe, you know, that would be a good investment. And just figuring out all the things. But then I was like, how do you want to feel? And that like was a game changer in terms of just what I was looking for in so many aspects of my life, from work to home to relationships to everything. So I'm really focused on my feelings.
What do you, what's one feeling that you want to feel?
Mind your business. That's between me and my diary. You went too far. Tell you later. I also, because I was house hunting and doing things of that nature and trying to figure out what's the best way to invest my money, how should it be invested? I was like trying to be hella financially literate this weekend, and that is stressful. So I was doing a lot of research. And I don't know if we have time for this, but I do want to get into it eventually because we have a lot to cover today. But maybe next week. I think next week I want to get into...
What in the tease is that? You better hit us off with the divine mathematics.
All right, well, around the way arithmetic. Let's talk about compound interest. And I
shut the fuck up. Never mind.
I sent this fucking video to the group chat and everybody ignored it. I was like, this is invaluable information, ladies. Please watch this video. And everybody was like, dub. So where are we going for this girl's trip? And I was like, what room you want? And I was like, okay, forget it. Whatever.
No, go ahead. Compound interest. Break it down.
Compound interest versus simple interest. And this is like something very small that I'm that, you know, but it's very important, especially if you are a young person listening to this podcast. Time is on your side when it comes to compound interest. So let's talk about it. let's deal with simple interest first. So simple interest goes like this. So Shanti, let's say you invest $5,000, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then let's say the investment is $5,000. And then over the course of like 20 years, right, at an interest rate of 8%. So you're not investing $5,000 every year. You're just investing $5,000. So your money, what's 8% of $5,000? It's $400. Okay. So every year you are making $400 on $5,000, right? That's simple interest. And so by the end of that 20 years, your interest that you accrued will be $8,000 plus the $5,000 that you put in to start. So your mm-hmm. total will be $13,000. Makes sense, okay. right?
Yeah.
That's just the simple interest, which is cute. It's good. But what you really want to get into is compound interest. Because when you invest in compound interest, that $5,000 over 20 years at the same interest rate of 8%, you will earn $400 in that first year, right? Because 8% of $5,000 is $400. But then in year two, you will earn $432 because you're earning interest on the interest that you accrued. So it's a slow build, but when you start to build that interest more and more, and then you're building on top of that, it becomes this like snowball effect, and you can accrue so much more money over time. So that extra $32 seems like nothing in the first year, but the end result will be $18,300 in accrued interest, plus the $5,000 that you already put in. So that's $23,300 instead of $13,000.
Why don't people, what are the different kind of investments that you can find compound?
That's the thing. So you have to do your research because that's what I'm still looking up. It's like CDs versus stocks. Stocks obviously go up and down versus mutual funds versus certain bank accounts. But honestly, most bank accounts that have that kind of, like, no bank account's giving you back 8%. It's not happening. Unless you have a lot of money to put in. Like, there's certain banks, like, there's stipulations around it. But you have to do your research and you have to ask about compound interest, not only in making money, but in the loans and the debt that you take out. Yeah. Because here's the compound interest that nobody wants to talk about. Your school loans, most of them have compound interest. So when you take out $5,000, right, in a loan or any loan, for instance, credit card, whatever, got $5,000 on your credit card, and then they hit you with, okay, you didn't pay this off, so you owe us $5,032. Then it's, you didn't pay this off, you owe us $5,000X. It's not just $5,000. You're going to keep accruing interest, and that interest is accruing on top of the interest. So a lot of people who pay the minimums of things, you're just paying the interest.
Yeah.
You're not even hitting what you actually borrowed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to do research into compound interest versus simple interest. And obviously you want compound interest to work in your favor and not against you, which is how a lot of people get into debt very quickly because they don't realize. They just think, oh, I'll pay $5,000 off later, which is why school loan deferment is important, because then you can put that interest, like all of that stuff is important. And it's all shit that we should learn in school, but we don't. Because of capitalist society and greed and the powers that be. But that's just my little tidbit. There's so much more to go into.
Around the way, arithmetic. Hello, you heard it here. Where the fuck else you hearing this kind of stuff besides NPR and other financial podcasts?
And with much more detail. They're like, actually, go to this website and they'll give you these kind of loans are the perfect loans for you to get.
I can't even tell you that.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I don't know, child. Look at the CDs and not the ones with DMX on it. The real CDs, child. But as I do more research into being financially literate, as I try to get my life together, I will share little tidbits. And if there is a financial advisor that listens to this podcast, I would love to talk to you and I would love to have you on, because that's something that people keep requesting. And child, we ain't the ones to deliver that message. We are not financially literate enough. So that's all around the way arithmetic. Pop culture. This weekend, was that this weekend? It was. Our old school uncle and Zaddy D'Angelo blessed us with a concert via Versus in a long black mink coat with woman's
shagged
boots.
Mink coat. It was shagged. There were
levels, layers.
Levels to it, layers to it, shagged layers. And you won't say you had the same shoes in your closet.
I do. I have those shoes. I have those shoes in tan. I said, I know I got them boots. And he had that hat. He had the big brim hat on. And he was ready with his cigarettes. And, you know, it was just a vibe. It was the lip syncing for me. The fact that he was out there in that outfit lip syncing and we were loving it. Who could have done that? Nobody. Nobody else. But Shanti, you had a take on D'Angelo while watching.
You know what? I was looking at him, and I was looking at his mouth and his gap and his quote-unquote, not fall. You know, musicians will say that he didn't fall, but a pop culture would be like, what the fuck happened to D'Angelo? I just really think that D'Angelo is laying really good pipe. Like,
but what kind? You had a word for it.
Oh, I don't know what I said, but
you
it's disgusting.
D'Angelo, like, yeah, the D'Angelo.
It's like disgusting.
Sex is the kind of sex that you'll get up the next day and be disgusted.
Oh
with
no,
yourself.
You're disgusted with yourself because you like also because he's smoking cigarettes and he's just like kind of gross and kind of like. He's just kind of gross, but he's so
nasty.
He's
also D'Angelo.
And he's just like turning you out and on. And you're disgusted and ashamed of yourself, but you will never give that up.
No.
And you will never tell people about it either. Like, you probably won't tell nobody.
I think people would say, like, I fucked D'Angelo, but they won't say everything that happened. They won't say, like, I ate his butt or he spit my mouth.
Yes, like he will have you eat.
He
will absolutely have you eating. Y'all just eating each other's butt. And then you probably smoking cigarettes afterwards and drinking cognac and listening to music. And like
cognac and music is cool. It's the cigarettes for me. No, thank you.
Girl. And it's just nasty.
If you had sex with D'Angelo, you wouldn't tell me?
Of course I would tell you. But like if I was out.
If you was eating his ass, you wouldn't.
He'd
be like, yeah, it was nice.
And he probably got long fingernails. He probably got
dirty
the long
fingernails.
Ass, dirty fingernails.
With calloused
hands.
He probably
snore. He probably a mess.
And you know
he's
what?
Just
he probably
a mess.
Sweats next to you in the bed. And you never had somebody sweat that doesn't smell good? It's sweat. Like, you need to drink some water and eat some vegetable sweat. Yeah. That's where we're at.
That's where the shame comes, because you're like, but it's so amazing.
He also was awkward with her. I was like, he wants to take her down so bad. And she's such a little pure queen, little tiny girl. She's like 23. So if he don't leave that angel alone, that was awkward. But my thing was when Method Man came out, because I said, if anybody's
right,
laying the pipe,
pop pants on his jeans,
I don't care,
awkwardly fitting.
He can have pop pants on with his Def Jam jacket and his hat with his big hands. Listen, Meth, I have a meme for when this episode comes out, and baby,
no,
Method Man is giving filthy sex.
His
we
birthday
all
was
know
just,
it.
Yeah, he's fine. He's vegan too, so his sweat don't stink.
He's vegan?
Yeah, Jasmine told us Redman and Method Man are both vegan.
She was joking. She don't know nothing. She just says everybody's
vegan.
No,
I bet
vegan.
They're vegan. Don't look that up. I think Method Man is a vegan.
Redman didn't look well. I was like, it's either lupus or sickle cell. We ain't gonna disgrace that man, he doesn't look okay? well. No, I'm concerned. I was like, you all right, child? Method Man is definitely eating bacon. Get the fuck out of here, vegan.
No, that's the other nigga. What's the nigga the guy?
You just made that up.
They're vegetarian. Yeah.
He vegan? That's why he looked like that.
He's a long time. Oh, no, that's.
She don't know what she's talking about, y'all. Moving on.
Is Jay-Z vegan?
Jay-Z ain't still a vegan. I don't believe that either. Golden Globes happened. Golden Globes got a lot of backlash because apparently the people in the whatever they call it, the something something press, are all white. It's not a black.
Is Golden Globes for movies or TV? For movies, right?
Movies. Emmys are for TV.
Fuck all of them. Whoever just gave I May Destroy You didn't even count her. Like, fuck them all. I forgot to mention that last week or a couple weeks ago.
I know. I will say I liked what Ava DuVernay said, and I'm going to read it. Said, many artists who have made strong work this year are being amplified on tonight's show. Excuse me. I'm proudly introducing Hamilton to applaud the artistry of Lin-Manuel and the whole cast and crew. To be clear, pressure applied to the Globes and its partners from now on isn't about validation or shiny things from this particular group. The truth that's not often discussed is that awards play a part in economic reality of Black filmmakers, artists of color, and women creators in this business. Unfortunately, these shiny things matter to those who finance, greenlight, produce, distribute, and market our projects. Therefore, everyone must have balanced access and consideration so that playing the field can be more equitable for artists of all kinds, colors, and cultures. And I fuck with that. I fuck with that mainly because she was like, we deserve to celebrate the people that are being celebrated tonight, but we still have fucking work to do. And then she was like, you know, shout out to this being the last Golden Globes that's ever like this, because we're going to change it. Point blank, period. But also, Golden Globes so white. Child, Shanti is really struggling over here with her video. I can't take it.
There you go. That's much better.
Yeah, you probably had fingerprints all over your camera. Golden Globes so white. I would like to say that Black folks showed up and out. Chadwick won. Daniel Kaluuya won. Soul won for best animated movie and soundtrack. Shout out to Jonathan Batiste. John Boyega won. Andra Day won, which was a 35-year drought for best actress. Can't wait to watch the Billie Holiday versus, or United States versus Billie Holiday. And Trevante Rhodes has quite the scene in that, ladies and gentlemen. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw that my girl Kristen tagged me in a video of that man literally eating Andre Day's ass
and bit it. I said, what?
And then stuck it. I ain't post the other one. I didn't post the other one because he like, look, he laid her down, looked at her, and then stuck his tongue out for her to open her mouth. And just, I said, my God, what a heavenly man. You already know that I'm obsessed with Trevante, so can't wait. Big weekend plans. Vibrator is on alert. Also, I would like to shout out Viola Davis. Not that she listens to this podcast or cares about us, but she does follow us on Instagram, which blows my mind. And she looks so beautiful on the, like, at the Globes. Did you see what she had on?
Yeah.
She had her hair natural. She had her Ankara wax, like her wax print dress. And she just, and she is making it her business to constantly highlight Black creatives and Black people that are just trying to be like enterprising. And I just love her. I really do.
Yeah, she's getting mad militant. Shout out to her. She's mad militant these days. She's really just like,
oh, she's, I think she's her shit. Been. Yeah, I think that she's been, but now she just feels empowered to do it. I'm here for it. Shout out to Viola Davis, Queen Viola Davis. We stand. Politics is usual. I just don't know where to start. I'll start with, this isn't light, but Texas is very ghetto right now. Like,
Shout out to Ben Chidaka.
Child. He gonna take a video and tag us in the video of us shouting him out. It's crazy ass. Texas is so ghetto. The governor just said all businesses can open at 100%. I'm dropping the mask mandate. And, you know, but you guys should still, like, pay attention to what the CDC is saying and, you know, follow medical advice. I'm like, this is against all medical advice. What the fuck are you doing? Didn't y'all just not have heat and electricity? Like, you really woke up.
You got other fish to fry, my nigga. Like,
yeah, you literally woke up and chose more chaos. Like, why would you open this shit? All the rates are high. I don't understand. I was like, Texas, I don't know. Everybody listening to Texas.
Why? Because someone tell us why that was the way that, why did that happen like that? I went from 0 to 100. Are you guys okay?
I don't know.
What you going to do?
It was looking apocalyptic down there for a second, and now the masks are off.
You know what? People are still going to wear masks, though. You know, like,
I pray.
The mask mandate is only for the folks that were grumbling about, I can't breathe in these masks. And then, but everybody else will probably wear them. So
we'll see. But 100% capacity? Like, really? We going to go into a restaurant?
What other state is doing that?
I don't think any Kentucky other state is at 100%. Shit? If any other state is fucking Florida, you are in no Florida.
Florida's like, we've
been trying to cut Florida off and just float that into the goddamn Caribbean because them motherfuckers keep them over there. We'll take Hawaii, give us Puerto Rico, but yeah, y'all take Florida because nah. Also, Biden, God damn it, Biden, with your silly ass. Biden is doing dumb shit. But then he's not doing some dumb shit. And he's just like, you know, he's being a politician. He's being less of a monster than Trump, but still not like what I personally wanted. Jamal Khashoggi, who was murdered, an American journalist, murdered, and Trump kind of like buddied up with the Saudi Arabian prince who we all knew ordered the hit. Now, candidate Joe Biden vowed to make Saudi Arabian prince, I don't know his name, make him pay. And if he was indeed proven to be involved with this in any way. Now, President Joe Biden is sanctioning all of the men who worked for the prince, but not the prince himself. And his White House press secretary, Jen Chow, I don't know how to say her last name, P-S-A-K-I, I think it's Saki, I think the P is silent, but I'm not sure, said putting sanctions on foreign leaders, it's not smart diplomacy. So basically, like, we're punishing the hitman, but not the person who ordered the hit. And Saudi Arabia is wrapped up in oil, and we don't want no beef, and it's just more and more politics as usual. Wow. Which is pretty disappointing, but also not
disappointing.
Surprising.
Why?
What do you mean?
Why?
I said disappointing, but not surprising. I mean, I could still hope that the motherfucker like stands by what he says. But you know, here we are in the president of the, or excuse me, in the United States of America, and he is the that president that wants to appeal to both sides. He's not.
I don't
He's
know.
He's not a liberator.
I don't know that any president, like, in order for this shit, in order for people to do things differently, I feel like it would have to stop. You know what I mean? Like, things would have to completely halt in order for Biden not to come in there. Like, in thinking about him bombing Syria, apparently Syria had bombed some
U.S. occupied area in Iraq and like wants beef. I don't, the way that America, the machine that America is, the way that it works, the acts of diplomacy, the foreign pacts and plans and conversations and agreements, a president would have to throw all of that to the wind. He would have to say, yeah, I'm going to risk it all. Mm-hmm. I'm going to risk America's known presence, global presence, and domination.
And power, right.
Like, what do you expect? You think Biden was not good? Like, no, I really feel again. Like if, what's that nigga's name? If, oh God. Anybody that was going to be a president, Bernie Sanders would bomb Syria. Like, I don't think, if you're stepping into this car, ain't nobody reversing that motherfucker. Like, you're getting into the car and you're doing the thing that this car does. You're not going to get in the car and be like, all right, this is about to fly. No,
I'm smiling because
it's going to drive. It's just going to go forward.
This is perfect for what we're going to talk about later, because in my research, we're going to be talking about Judas and the Black Messiah, but in my research for that, I discovered that Shanti is a Marxist. You are basically Karl Marx. And I can't wait to talk about that. You are.
I don't know.
You are.
I just don't think, I'm just not surprised. And I don't think that anybody should be.
I'm not surprised either. Just disappointed.
I don't know why. I can't understand. Because
I said, I'm just disappointed. I'm not surprised.
Wanted this tank to fly.
You can want some shit really badly, but then also not be surprised when it doesn't happen. You're like, yeah. It's like if you don't work out or eat right for like 10 days, when you get on the scale, you can want and hope and pray like, ooh, I hope I ain't gained no weight. And then you'd be like, okay, disappointed in myself, but also not surprised. Same shit.
Shout out to the machine.
Last update, Governor Cuomo.
He in trouble.
He fucking up, literally. He's in more hot water. He just got into hot water for covering up how many old folks were dying in retirement homes. And now he has aides saying that he sexually harassed them.
Child.
One woman even accuses him of, like, kissing her and like she didn't want to be kissed. He's also like this machismo Italian guy that makes a lot of jokes. He loves to talk about how he's like the bachelor of governors and he's so cute. It's like a running joke.
Everybody, he was beloved for a minute. Everybody was crushing on him.
Yeah,
because
he saved New York, child. When that fucking ship came
he was smacking asses.
He was baby. So apparently he apologized. He was like, you know, but he holds firm that he never touched anyone, which we'll see. But he said that it absolutely should be investigated. And it also makes it really strange because his brother, Chris Cuomo, works for CNN. And so now it's a little strange when he's on because he's not allowed to report on his brother. So then it kind of feels like CNN is ignoring it. But it's also like it's a conflict of interest because I can't report on my brother governor because obviously it's going to be skewed and it's not ethical. But, you know, we'll see what happens over here. Lots of backlash coming from the Republican Party as they can't wait to point out the hypocrisy of Governor Andrew Cuomo having these allegations against him as former President Trump. Did, but I also want to point out that former President Trump plans on running again in 4 years and is unleashing every bit of dogs that he has to dig up dirt on and like shit on people's legacy who he feels did him wrong. And Cuomo was slated. He was definitely going to run. Like there was no way he wasn't with the amount of attention that he got after COVID. And so Trump is like, nah, I'm taking you down. So to be continued. And I hope those women are okay that accused him. I hope that they,
I saw something.
They seek justice. Get justice.
Yeah, right. I saw something by Tarana, who started Me Too. She made a post. And there's just, you know, there's that with Cuomo. There's the whole thing with T.I. There's tons of other, women, sexual, like, allegations of harassment and whatever in the media. And she was just like, people were telling her, oh, Me Too is irrelevant now. Like, that was just a wave. And she's like, actually, this shit is, like,
every day.
Every day. Like, it can't stop, won't stop. And shit.
It's tricky. It's tricky. We will definitely keep up with it and report back. But in other news, as we move forward in the Round the Wake Curl tradition of shouting out those who support us and hold us down, we would like to shout out our new patrons, Diamond J, Karina, Hannah P, and Yvette. Shout out to you. You know who you are. We appreciate you. Your support for our Patreon, which is our visual platform, is going to help Shanti and I find someone to help us edit these goddamn episodes, do some social media, hopefully, so that it can free us up to create more content for you. So shout out to you. You know who you are. And also, haven't asked this in a while, but please rate, subscribe, and share Around the Wake Curls podcast. I need to stop doing it. I don't know why I keep doing that. We have a letter. Would you like to read said letter?
Yes, this was a wonderful letter. Don't say your name, and also, we are looking for help in the ways of social media editing and just basic brand support. There have been some folks that reached out. We did receive your emails and will be returning with a response as well. We are still taking more. So another thing that I did mention in the past, but would be really helpful if and when you send your email, is just some kind of proposal. To be more explicit, to help you in making the proposal, are just like a basic social media strategy to get folks to connect to us via to the podcast. So strategy around that. But
if it's social media that you're writing about, if it's editing or something else.
Yeah. If it's a proposal, you don't need a proposal around editing unless you're like, yo, I can make this shit fire and look like fucking Lee Daniels shot it. Okay, so I love this. We got a letter in response to the prompt, I feel most in love with myself when. And I wanted to share it with you guys because it felt really, really authentic and a great breakthrough moment. And here we go. I'm reaching out because I just got around to listening to the podcast episode from a few weeks ago when you all addressed the question, when do you feel most in love with yourself? I listened to you both process this, heard a listener's answer, and twirled it around in my head for what felt like hours. And I was so moved by the question. At this time, I felt compelled to share the breakthrough that I had. At first, I honestly thought I felt most in love with myself when I do self-care things like make time for pampering or after a shower when I can see myself, slow down, and remember to thank my body for another day. Then I thought, oh, it must be when I tap back in moments of childlike curiosity, wonder, vulnerability, and fearlessness because I can name some of those times. But while those moments helped me slow down and zoom in, that wasn't it. I feel most in love with myself when I experience a sense of knowing.
As someone that has textured and curly hair, I'm so excited to share Clairol's Textures and Tones came out with a permanent color range specifically for curly, coily hair types. Say hello to the improved formula and new look while preserving your curls and your shine. So listen, y'all, check it. Clairol's textures and tones is quick and easy to use. It comes in 12 upgraded texture-loving shades. It gives you brilliant color and moisture with zero ammonia, and it makes you feel proud to be able to transform yourself and your hair, saving you time and money. Because we all know time is money, child. And did I mention the new formula is pumped with argan and olive oil? They really outdid themselves, y'all. Because Clairol's mission is simple: to keep every woman feeling beautiful and confident, and to help her live colorfully through accessible, easy-to-use products. Remember, it's not the hair color you were born with, but the hair color you were meant to be. Clairol, it's so me. All right, everyone, listen up, because this is an important message. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated refugee children from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries, and then kept the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunited. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called El Otro Lado. This organization works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S., Tijuana, through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunified, El Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get back on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'll see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting El Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity. That's gum.fm/charity, and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer. elotrolado.org/volunteer.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
In my body, there have been key moments in my life where I've made a decision. It's been a full-bodied hell yes or an easy no. The feeling of unwavering faith and bravery and what that feels like in my head and in my body makes me so grateful for life and how I get to experience myself on this timeline. I feel like I'm not doing this explanation as much justice as needed, but basically what I'm trying to get at is that I love the intuitive, trusting of self version of me. In retrospect, can say I feel the most in love with myself in those decisive hell yes moments, because I'm the most present with myself, in tune with my intuition, trusting and gentle with myself all at the same time. I hope this makes sense. Thank you for inspiring this moment of reflection. Girl, what a lovely response. And again, I love that it just deepened. It even deepened it for me. I was like, oh man, this can just go even deeper. So thank you for that.
And I hope you guys are still having that swirl around in your head, and you're still contemplating and still willing to share, because we love to hear it.
Yes. I second those feelings. So I think we should take a break, because when we get back, baby, it's about to be highly melanated. Or not, because of us. It's going to be hella black. Maybe not that melanated, but it's going to be hella black. As we dig into Judas and the Black Messiah and the Black Panther Party and who Mr. Fred Hampton was. So after these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. Antoinette here, and I am inviting you. Hey, y'all. Antoinette here, and I am inviting you to take a bite out of summer with HelloFresh. From chef-curated seasonal recipes to their very new Fresh and Fit summer menu, HelloFresh brings flavor right to your door. And if you're looking to eat well this summer, HelloFresh's menu features calorie-smart and protein-smart lunch and dinner options. HelloFresh makes it easy to reach your food goals with flavor recipes that will definitely leave you feeling satisfied. Also, HelloFresh gets that you want options when it comes to what to make for dinner, not just the same old tired thing all the time. That's why they offer 40 recipes to choose from. Did you get that? 40 recipes to choose from every single week. So you'll never get bored, and you can always find something new to try and love. Listen, it's peak time for summer produce, and HelloFresh makes sure you get all of the best picks all season long. Their ingredients travel from the farm to your door in less than 7 days for a quality you can taste. I recently made the Gouda Vibes Burger with tomato, onion, jam, and potato wedges, and I must say, this was one of the best burgers I have ever had. It was absolutely delicious. All of the ingredients were fresh, they were quality, and they were bursting with flavor. So what are you waiting for? Go to HelloFresh.com/ATWCurls50 and use code ATWCurls50 for 50% off plus free shipping. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/ATWCurls50 and use code ATWCurls50 for 50% off plus free shipping.
And we are back. Shanti, Judas and the Black Messiah, before I go into my big spiel, what did you think?
I liked it. It was...
very in-depth. I liked it.
It wasn't the most enthralling. I wasn't like glued to the screen. I tapped out many times, but there were also many moments where it like hits you and you're like, yes. Yes.
What moment was that?
Just when he's in his speeches. I love the portrayal of he and his fiance's relationship. I think from their relationship is when you got the most of the internal conflict and the daily choice that Fred Hampton made in how he wanted to live his life and how he wanted to basically end his life. And I felt that was really, I felt like it was poignant. And I hate Lakeith. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say hate, but I only like him in Atlanta, but like, there's something about that cat that I just like, doesn't do it for me. And so I was...
You didn't like him in Get Out? I thought he was excellent in Get Out.
All he did was look into the screen, looking all, you know.
No, he was like, he was the guy that told him to get out.
Yeah, but he didn't have a problem. Oh, I forgot God, them niggas be in the fucking movies together.
That was my beef. And then the other one was in it. D-Ray was in it too. I was like, y'all really just put all three of them in the same fucking movie again?
D-Ray.
Is that his name? That's not his name. What's the little man's name? I hate myself. Ooh, what is the cure? Worse.
Called him little man.
He is little. Go ahead.
I I liked it. I didn't dislike it. I didn't love it. It didn't make an imprint. It's just like, you know, it can't help but make you upset because white people are just insidious, manipulative, clever little warmongers. And
I thought it was interesting that the cop thought he thought he was protecting the United States of America. That was interesting.
Yeah. That's what's so scary.
I did not hate the movie. I had to check myself. I was like, oh, it's called Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah.
Got it. It's about
his betrayal. It's about him. It's about that
drama. But I think I wanted them to spend more time with Fred and develop him more and not just him as a character. I just wanted a different movie, I think. Because this was like the first time that so many people were going to meet him. You know, like this isn't like a name that a lot of people know. And I felt protective over his story. So like, I feel like whenever we have these like biographical like movies, they come out and then we all enter this fight to like own the narrative and like a narrative that is actually really honest and one that honors that person's legacy, like Malcolm X. Like, movie was long as shit, but you kind of knew, you got who Malcolm X was. Like, it was about him. And this just wasn't that. So with that said, I think it's really important that we resist Hollywood's urge to like water down our Black leaders and reduce them to like an I Have a Dream speech. I'm not saying that that's what this did, but it didn't go into real detail around Fred Hampton's beliefs. Not enough for me. So like Akin Ola from The Guardian wrote, this film is an engrossing, chair-clenching, and relatively accurate depiction of one of the most important young leaders in the history of the United States. But it dances a little too close to stripping Hampton of the radical politics that made him a large enough threat to be targeted and then assassinated by the FBI and the Chicago Police Department. And I couldn't agree more. So while I personally enjoyed the film from like just a film viewer's lens, the historical lens left me wanting more. And my argument is like that Fred Hampton cannot be fully portrayed by like casting a talented Black actor and having him repeat, you know, you dig and power to the people. Like while Daniel was amazing, he did his thing, he filled the lines, the moments were beautiful with him and his fiance. We need to understand who Fred Hampton was. And Fred Hampton was not Martin Luther King. Like Fred Hampton was a socialist, communist, Marxist, Leninist. And Fred Hampton was not asking for a seat at the table or a seat at a segregated counter. Like he's much kind of like you, where he's like, blow all this shit up. He was not asking for the opportunity to take part in the American dream. He was saying, fuck your American dream, because in order to take part in it, I have to oppress someone else just by the way that it's made up. And that is not freedom. And he said, all power to the people. And there's a distinction there between power to the people and all power to the people. And unlike some Marxist Leninists, before Hampton, he believed that the poorest of the poor, and this is important, like the hustlers, the gang members, the unemployed, and everyone the fuck else on the outskirts of society, that they were the ones that were going to carry out revolution. You know, he believed that the revolution could not be accomplished within the confines of capitalism and our democratic elections. And he believed that race, gender, and class were designated to work together to keep the masses of the poor, to keep the masses poor and divided. That is so important to, I think, emphasize in telling his story. He was trying to dismantle capitalism at a time when anything outside of capitalism, and even now to an extent, was so dangerous to the point where they will run up in your fucking house while you are sleeping and gun you down. And not only was he doing that, but he was also doing it with people outside. It wasn't just about race. It was about class. That's why he was able to reach out to gangs who were seemingly in opposition with the Black Panther Party, and poor white people and fucking pimps and thugs and like all of these people, and form this rainbow coalition along with the free breakfast program and things of that nature. Like, he was mobilizing to overthrow government. You know, like, that is so different from, I think, what we were shown. And I could be wrong. I just don't think, I think that went over people's head. I don't think
they did show that. They didn't beat it into your head with many speeches by him. It wasn't like a speech, heavy speech and theory movie. I mean, that's what I saw. He had him meeting up with the Chicago gang. He went into the white, poor white, you know, Confederate fucking town hall meeting.
Yeah, you saw that, but I'm talking about
Puerto Ricans.
The emphasis them all coming of class. Together. The emphasis of his attack on capitalism, specifically.
Well, I thought that's what he said in it. He was like, this isn't about race. It's about, you know, us getting the boot off our neck. All of us have the boot on our neck, and we need to come together.
So then maybe this is less of a critique of the movie and more of an opportunity for us to really dive into what he believed.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was just him either. I guess I think similar to what we're doing right now, and I am by no means a expert, but I think the Black Panther movement, that his ideas were no different. That's what the Black Panther movement was founded on. Like, the idea of opening free clinics, the idea of educating.
It was socialist, communist ideas.
Yeah, these ideas of, like, we're going to spread the wealth. We're going to support one another. We're going to do it within the community. We're not going to rely on or feel like we have to be held up and operate under the conditions of what capitalism says we have to do. And we're going to arm ourselves in order to protect this alternative lifestyle that we're trying to lead. And that's, you know, as with anything, even with this movie, even though this shit actually happened, the shootouts in Oakland actually happened, like, the Black Panthers are often associated with, like, the guns, like the all black, because it was bad, like, their fucking outfits
the
was
visual
everything.
Is,
they
is...
were, they were killing it, like, style-wise, the motherfuckers had it down. Like, I would have been like, don't want to be a Muslim. Don't want to be a Black Panther.
Definitely.
I'm going with the Black Panthers. These niggas is cute.
Like, let me get that hat, please.
My dumb ass probably run with the fucking Nation of Islam. But no, I mean, I don't think that when we talk about the liberation of Black people, even around what's happening recently, you know, the conversation is around equality. The conversation is around voting, getting people more involved, understanding the system, how it works. It's around reforming the police forming the prison systems. Some people, abolitionists, are a little bit more radical or like, yo, turn, fuck it all. But like, I don't know that these kind of socioeconomic undertones are ever really like talked about in the mainstream. Like for niggas that are reading Another Theory and like they're in it, this is what they talk about. This is what they live in and breathe and are always connecting those intersections. But in mainstream, you know, it's around equality. It's around supporting Black businesses. It's around reforming policies so that everybody can get health care for the people that are denied it the most, which is our minority and, you know, poor folks, rather than being like, actually, this whole system is fucked up and it's meant to be fucked up. It's designed to fuck us up and it can't be reformed.
Right. I think, too, and I think that we should talk about the different, like, go into socialism, communism, and even Marxism, just so people are clear, because in our current political, like, moment, like the term socialism is like Bernie Sanders and AOC, but like back then it was much deeper than that. Like socialism now can mean anything from like universal healthcare to like workers controlling the means of production. And like, I again think it's important that we understand that Hampton had a very specific understanding of the world and how it should look. And it wasn't just universal healthcare. So like socialism, and in its simplest form, because it's complicated to break down, we gonna try, chow. Socialism calls for a nation's citizens to control at least some of its means of production. So the major ingredients needed for a healthy economy, right? So think infrastructure, energy, natural resources. And under socialism, any surplus or profit from those sectors must benefit those same citizens. And versus capitalism, that calls for private owners to control the means of production and to keep any profit they make for themselves, which is why in the United States, you could have someone like who owns Amazon, who's a fucking bajillionaire, and the workers are making possibly minimum wage. So you also have to think. Go ahead.
I don't think there's any real pure socialist
there
economy.
Aren't.
Like
there aren't.
No, nobody's breaking
no one
everybody
has
out.
Achieved,
they ain't no fucking co-ops.
Right. And a lot of people, that's the thing. They're always like, look at this communist country. Look at this, because we're going to get into communism next. Look at this socialist country. Look at Cuba. Look at Russia. Look at this. None of them. It's so important to understand that operate in a real socialist, communist way, because they're all corrupt. We've never seen it. It's never been done, and it's never been done. Like, it's never been done to where like you're actually following the tenets of what it is. If that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So also keep in mind when we're talking about like the major ingredients, think about social services, fire departments, police departments, public schools, universal health care. Like we all pay into that, whether we utilize those resources or not. But within the capitalist society, like that's where it stops. It's like, okay, we're going to give you some of these. And within capitalism, there are socialist ideas that we do take part in. Like our taxes pay for certain this or that, but the people don't own the production, if that makes sense. You know, like such and such can build a bridge, but like we don't own parts of that bridge. Like such and such is going to get rich off of that bridge. Again, we're just going to make whatever wage they pay us to actually build it. So then the next step is communism. So from socialism, you kind of shift to communism. And this is where the state not only owns all the state meaning the people, not only owns all means of production, but that it also owns all aspects of society and economy. So that means doing away with private property. So this theory would create a classless, moneyless society where everyone does what they can do to contribute to the well-being and livelihood and freedom from one another. And you took the words out of my mouth. No true communist countries. There are none. There has never been. Greed, corruption, capitalism have always gotten in the way. So, like, if you think about it, when you were talking about, I think you were talking to me about one of your homegirls saying, I'm tired of, I think actually maybe Nico was like, I'm tired of working to live. Or it could have been your homegirl. But like, and in my mind, I couldn't even grasp that. I'm like, well, you have to work to live. That's how you prove that you're worthy of whatever you get out of life. But like within this, it's like, no, you need to contribute to society and society will contribute to you. Then you have Marxism, which I am fucking convinced, Shanti, I don't care what you say. Baby girl, I read the, I was watching videos and reading about this. It was like, if this ain't Shanti, I don't know who the fuck this is. But Marxism is basically capitalism is unsustainable. And it's named after Karl Marx, who was the one that came up with this in like the 1800s. He was way ahead of the game. Capitalism is unsustainable. It's inherently corrupt. But it's also unstable. Because every couple of years, right, we get into this economic crash, this depression, this, that. And every time we are told, like, we don't know what the hell happened. It's so crazy this happened. It's like, actually, this happens all the fucking time. And then we got to bail this out, bail that out. Like, is this shit actually stable? Probably not. There's no private property, no inherited wealth. There's free public education that I spelled wrong, centralized control of transportation and all public services. And then the tenets, the thinking is that work should be enjoyable. It should be reflective of the person's being. And that it talks about the worst parts of capitalism is not that it's corrupt and that people are rich and some people are poor. It's that capitalism creates an ideology that are really just value judgments that are related to the economic system. So if you don't work, you are not valuable. Mm-hmm. That leisure and pleasure beyond a few weeks is sinful. That more belongings and more stuff will make you happier. And that they say, Marxists say, that the biggest evil of capitalism is that it creates all of us like a sense, like that we're all anxious, that we're competitive, that we're conformists, and that we are politically complacent. And I was like, I just was like, did Shanti write this?
Marxist belief is what inspired communist and socialist politics. So it's not a separate type of what's the word? Governing politic. It's the theory behind.
Mm-hmm. And Leninists are. I forget his first name. He was in Russia, and basically, his last name is Lenin, and he believed in Karl Marx's theories, and took it upon himself to educate the peasants because they didn't have resources to Karl Marx's theories. So he went along, but he also kind of corrupted it as well. So that's why people say I'm a Marxist Leninist. And it's just like, you're really just a Marxist. All of this shit is Marxism at the end of the day. We ain't even getting to Maoism because that's too much. But I just feel like I'm a Marxist now. Because I read those tenets and I was so disappointed in myself. Like, I am absolutely that person. It's like, if you don't work, girl, you are not valuable. Girl, you're really going to take all these breaks? You must not want it badly enough. I'm that person, and capitalism made me this way. It's not my fault. No, and I got to get out of this.
No, close friend used to say capitalism is in your bones.
Oof.
It's in us. It's what we know. It's the ocean that we swim in.
It's like, horrible.
There's nothing, there's not much that we can do unless you're making, unless you're constantly trying to figure out why you feel this way. If you're not being introspective, if you're not being reflective, if you're not taking time to figure out how you feel, why you are doing the things that you do. But that's even hard to do because niggas have to work.
Right.
Niggas have to send their kids to schools. And so the Black Panthers of Fred Hampton were just like every single part of this American society is a branch from capitalism. Mm-hmm. That it's all just one tree. And like, you gotta pull the roots out this motherfucker. Like, you can't just be trimming this one tree, pruning this one tree while this other, you know, limb is getting bigger and bigger. It's just, it's all, they're all functions towards exploitation.
And it's so conflicting. And it's so conflicting.
It's also a global issue, right? Like, the reason that Cuba, which is a communist country, mm-hmm. may not be as prosperous. Of course, there's internal issues and politics. But like, for the longest, the entire world, America was just like, "Oh, we're not fucking with you. You don't want to play ball with us. We might bomb you, but actually we're just never going to buy."
Like, we're going to cut off all your resources.
We're cutting off all your resources.
No trade.
Stay in the 50s. Good luck.
Like, that's why Cuba has the cars that it has.
It's just because they were cut off. It's
just and those cars came over there from Russia when Russia was like, "Okay, we'll play ball with you because we're a communist country too, and we're going to send you these bombs hidden in these boats that have cars on them to make it seem so that their satellites will only see cars being shipped to you people. But really, they're fucking nuclear weapons. Insanity.
I also don't want to conflate. Listen to us. Listen, we use a...
Who the fuck we think we are this week? I don't want to
conflate the Black Panthers' mission with communism and socialism because communism and socialism has shed so much blood mm-hmm. throughout the world.
But theirs wasn't... And theirs
given no power to the people.
Right, but that's what we're saying is that I hesitate to call these countries true communist countries because they're not operating as under all these communist tenets. People. Right, that they're not operating as such. They're really just corrupt countries. Like when you're looking at South America that's just a hot ass fucking mess. I can't think of it right now.
I don't know if Venezuela is a hot ass mess.
No, I forget.
Venezuela is another one that.
But Venezuela is a hot mess too.
You become this. If this becomes the global standard, right, where you eat up the world and you mm-hmm. and you eat up your people. And
you eat up your resources.
You eat up your resources. And now you have China and India and Africa now. You have all of these different parts of the world, these so-called third world countries that are trying to, like, this is the standard. Capitalism is the standard. Like, you want to play big dog. You want to have this standard of life because because this works.
Well, it's also, they're also bullied into it. Just like you said, like the United States bullies people into it. They're going to put sanctions on this. They're going to do that. They're going to do that. You know,
we're going to use you to keep it going. Like,
or that.
We're going to suck you dry to keep
like the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is that I think it's so conflicting as I sit here and talk about compound interest. Playing into these games, like playing into their, because it's also like, well, what do I do? Like, I often think about you and I really believe that your being is in more alignment with Marxism, And I'm not saying that to be funny, but you're a business owner. Profit margins are important. So how do you deal with that? How do, like, outside of, you know, Black Panthers and Fred Hampton, like, it's a very personal moral
I think
reckoning.
I think that there are possibilities, because I don't think commerce, because there's like capitalism and then there's commerce, mm-hmm. right? There's like owning your home and having wealth, and then there's being filthy rich and mm-hmm. and stopping other people and creating systems that other people can't have their wealth, whether it be having a business or owning a home or having land to till. Like, I don't know that you have to confuse that capitalism and the way that it wants to eat you alive with just like commerce and like ownership. I don't know those things. I don't know if it's possible to have both those things and not be tantalized to, oh, if I'm gonna make $1 million a day, nigga, I'm gonna keep this $1 million a day. Like,
right.
If I can own 14 homes and pass it down to my kids, I'm gonna own. So then it just comes down to choice. It comes down to the values. It comes down to what makes you feel good. It comes down to how do you feel in the choices that you make? How do you feel in your pursuit of making a lot of money and purchasing a home? What is the legacy, or how does it contribute to humanity? Capitalism is very individualistic, and it's very like fucking simple as shit. Like, we're all so confused and fearful that there are no other options. And we don't have the time to explore other options. I know business owners that barter. I know business owners that all of the people that are on their staff can own, be a part owners of the business. And if the business does make profits, it's shared throughout. Like, Lush is like that. This multi-million dollar company is also kind of like a co-op. Like, mm-hmm. at one point they're like, okay, we're making so much money right now, like, we don't need to be making this much money. But we don't know about those possibilities. We're not taught those possibilities. And I've just been thinking about just school and education, and even with JoJo, it's like, again, they put this shit in your bones from a very young age. You need to produce, you need to follow these lines, you need to know this thing in order to be rewarded, in order for your life to be set up properly. Right. Like, in 10th and 11th grade, you're like, yo, this is my life right now. Like, I got to get these SATs and fill out the, mm-hmm. all these applications, or my life is over. I don't know. I just think that it can be far more interesting and far more beneficial and far more sustainable if we explore other ways. And again, to go back to Biden, that requires this motherfucker to stop.
That's why I was smiling so hard when you were talking about that.
There has to be like a pause. And I think that maybe you can't do it. We can't expect the whole thing to stop. But I just wonder, what parts in your life do you feel like you're spinning and you're dogged and you're running from a place of fear and worry and lack? Because all of this capitalism is just the idea of scarcity. Like, we have, it's a issue of overabundance, but it's fueled by scarcity. Mm. We have more than, there's enough in this whole planet to go around to everybody, but it's fueled by scarcity. And so I don't know. I wonder at what, I think about my life every day and I'm like, what am I so scared of? What do I want? What? Why are you? Why? Why?
I know. child. More questions without answers from Around the Way Curls.
But I love that in the movie that he was like, he was just making a conscious choice. And I think that's a really, if we ask ourselves, he was, you know, say, I am a revolutionary. And I can't say that I'm a revolutionary. Mm. Like, there's too many parts of my life that I know. Mm-hmm. That I know there's no, it's complete yielding. There's no resistance there. It's just like, oh, well, here we go. But, you know, he's a young man and he was just choosing it. And the other guy, fucking Judas.
Judas.
Trying to escape his accountability. Trying to make some money. Ugh. Anyway, child.
That was my thing. Like, what? I know that there's an interview with him and I want to watch it. But I'm also like, what was his driving? Like, what? It was to stay out of jail. It was to, what was it? Was it the money? Was it the acceptance from the FBI agent? Was it all of it?
Probably. Yeah.
Well,
he killed himself, though. That man was not okay. He was not well.
He killed himself, I think, the day after a documentary came out.
Mm.
Yeah. Child. Well, I think I want to leave off with just this quote from Mr. Hampton. And it is, we got to face some facts. That the masses are poor. That the masses belong to what you call the lower class. And when I talk about the masses, I'm talking about the white masses. I'm talking about the black masses and the brown masses and the yellow masses too. We've got to face the fact that some people say you fight fire best with fire, but we say you put fire out best with water. We say you don't fight racism with racism. We're going to fight racism with solidarity. We say you don't fight capitalism with no black capitalism. You fight capitalism with socialism. Things to ponder. And that made me think about your thing with Jay and Beyonce. And I'm just like, shut up. Just let me love my black royalty. But again, there was some criticism around the soundtrack that like I liked. But the criticism was that the soundtrack is devoid of like the Panthers ethos and that black capitalists and artists who are either aspiring to be black capitalists or almost there are like that's everything that Fred Hampton loathed, and they're the ones on the album celebrating his life and his legacy. So who really got played? And then Hollywood benefits how much from this movie? Where do those proceeds go? Where does all this money go that's being generated as, you know, it wins awards and gets all this recognition? Very interesting. So
it's in our bones, y'all.
It's in our bones. More reason to move to that hut in Costa Rica and live simply.
Yeah, I think, anyway, I could go on, but I wonder why we're so scared to live simply. I wonder why we're so scared
That's not sexy. That doesn't feel, I don't think that feels free to most people. A lot of people equate freedom with money and means. If I want to do this, I have the opportunity because everything is wrapped up in money, and access to money gives you a certain amount of freedom. That's why the shit's in our bones. Fact that I could say, maybe I'll move to Costa Rica. I need to fucking afford that.
I think that's just what we're told. I don't know if we know any other alternatives.
I mean, I think within the confines of what we have right now, like you move to Costa Rica, You got to pay for a flight. You got to pay for a place to live. If what if something happens to your parents, you got to have means to be able to come back. You got like there's, you have to have means and able to be able to move.
You have to have means, but you don't have to be rich.
No, I've never wanted to be rich. I'm not interested in that. But I am tired of, I think, working so hard with what I feel like is so little payback. And then, I mean, we see it every day. We see folks who are our quote unquote essential workers, and we won't even pass a $15 minimum wage. But these people are essential workers. It's a joke. So, shout out to the rich getting richer. This well, is just another depressing episode of Around the Way Girls.
Oh. I think, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know, but we would love to know. We would love to hear what you think.
We should have name on. No name will be on here. She'll be on here. They're like, and then, you know,
you gotta have no name, Dr. Umar.
No. Dr. Umar.
We gotta try to get this motherfucker on. I
would
wait.
Never.
Oh, I would love Dr. it. Umar. I would love it. Are you kidding?
He would be upset.
I would be cracking the fuck up. Like,
first of all, am I talking to two white women?
You know how the Pink Panther be having that little African hat one? Yeah. Say hat? That's how he would come wearing looking at us like, what? Why are y'all dressed up like that? See, you think it's fun and games. It's a real struggle. Like, you right. I apologize, King.
I do remember talking his shit, though. Your boy was into him on the thing. He was like, you know. Who? I went to 17 of his rallies. I donated to him.
Oh, the boy that won at speed dating? Shout out to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I thought...
All right, everyone. Reflect on how capitalism is in your bones. Is it in your bones? How can we do away with it? Can we do away with it? Is small progression the best way? Are these slow steps the best way towards liberation of people? Will we ever achieve all power to the people?
I think this is the most...
Girl, I'm trying to end this. You keep...
Oh.
Go ahead.
All right, we're done.
No,
but
go
I do
ahead.
Think it's a perfect time because we are really in a space where we're really upset with poor white people. Like, poor white people are taking... They're like, we got to keep this America great again. But those be the poor white people be keeping this fucking machine spinning, baby.
I don't know why.
Poor white people to wake up, child.
Ain't never seen nobody just against their own interests the way poor white people are. I'm like.
But then that's when
the only one who wasn't was Eminem. Shout out to him. And he made it. He rich. Shout out to him. Eminem was like, I'm not aligned with these trailer trash. Let me go ahead to this underground rap competition. Show them what I got.
He was like, heed me had me heed.
Yo, 8 Mile. Oh, man, I got to watch that.
JoJo loves Eminem, by the way.
She listens to Eminem. Mm-hmm. That's she a little Eminem. That's a little adult
JoJo
for her.
JoJo doesn't curse, okay?
JoJo is definitely cursing outside of your house. Are you she on the playground like, fuck you, bitch, suck my dick, just like we were. You're going to be appalled when you hear JoJo say
no,
that.
No, like, she's not. She's not like that. She
oh,
doesn't
shout
get
out to
out
you
out
being that mom.
I
love
don't,
you.
It's not that I want that mom. She just, that's not in her nature. She's just
my
like,
mother would. My mother and father would have never thought it was in mine either. But baby, when I got on that cheese bus, it was something else. Reading the coldest winner ever, cursing people out. Tell them to suck
out.
My imaginary
like, disgusting.
Penis.
I was the kid on the bus that you're shaking your head like, oh, they ain't going to be nobody.
Same. And when my dad right. found out I was, he snatched me up in front of the whole schoolyard. It was like, you want to be that girl? You want to be that fucking girl? Man, I was on punishment for like 2 years. It's like, no, man.
You want a fucking punishment. All right.
All right. This is the end of this episode. But... I enjoyed Lakeith Stanfield. I enjoyed Dominique. I enjoyed Daniel. I enjoyed this film. I just want us to all be clear about who Fred Hampton was. And with that, we are out.
Bye-bye.
What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it is that they had black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American Puerto Rican people of poor people of all descent. They had them caught up in their movements based on racism when the Black Panther Party stood up and said that we don't care what anybody says. We don't think you fight fire with fire, bitch. We think you fight fire with water, bitch. We're going to fight racism, not with racism, but we're going to fight with solidarity. We said we're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we're going to fight it with socialism. We stood up and said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary state attorneys like this and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reactions with all of us people to get together and have an international proletarian revolution.
Right on.
And that's saying all power to the people.
Right on.
That's saying that no matter what color you are, you're just only two classes. And that's saying there's a class over here and there's a class over there. And the reason that this class over here has never did anything to get this class off its back, because this is lower, this is upper. This is the oppressed, this is the oppressor. This is the exploited, this is the exploiter. And these people in this class have divided themselves. They say, I'm black and I hate white people. I'm white and I hate black people. I'm Latin American and I hate hillbillies. I'm hillbilly and I hate Indians. So we're fighting amongst each other. And you heard the testimony of pigs here. You got pigs of all colors, you know that. You got pigs that are white, you got pigs that are black, you even got pigs that are black and white. Propagating the same type of madness that this buffoon Henry had would be propagating if he were here himself. And why? Because they want to keep you to believing that I'm your enemy, and that everybody else that's black and that wears a lot of hair on his head and hair on his face, they want to keep you thinking that he's your enemy. Why? Because if ever you would disregard him and overlook him just for a minute and throw away that question of racism and started to deal with a little logic, then there would be no one else you could attack other than Hanrahan, other than Daley, and other than Tricky Dickie Nixon. If you make the right decision, then the oppressed people of the world will get complete satisfaction. I know you return a verdict of not guilty. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. Antoinette here, and I am inviting you... Hey y'all, Antoinette here, and I am inviting you to take a bite out of summer with HelloFresh. From chef-curated seasonal recipes to their very new Fresh and Fit summer menu, HelloFresh brings flavor right to your door. And if you're looking to eat well this summer, HelloFresh's menu features calorie-smart and protein-smart lunch and dinner options. HelloFresh makes it easy to reach your food goals with flavor recipes that will definitely leave you feeling satisfied. Also, HelloFresh gets that you want options when it comes to what to make for dinner, not just the same old tired thing all the time. That's why they offer 40 recipes to choose from. Did you get that? 40 recipes to choose from every single week. So you'll never get bored and you can always find something new to try and love. Listen, it's peak time for summer produce, and HelloFresh makes sure you get all of the best picks all season long. Their ingredients travel from the farm to your door in less than 7 days for a quality you can taste. I recently made the Gouda Vibes Burger with tomato, onion, jam, and potato wedges, and I must say, this was one of the best burgers I have ever had. It was absolutely delicious. All of the ingredients were fresh, they were quality, and they were bursting with flavor. So what are you waiting for? Go to HelloFresh.com/ATWCurls50 and use code ATWCurls50 for 50% off plus free shipping. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/ATWCurls50 and use code ATWCurls50 for 50% off plus free shipping.